Let's apply Newton's method, okay, to concrete examples. Just to have a clear visualization of its property, let's start with a one-dimensional example. Okay? So, the function is this one. It's a function from R to R, and f of t is t to the fourth power minus 10 t squared plus t. Okay? It's a polynomial of fourth degree. And I want to apply Newton's method. So that in this case, the gradient is the derivative, which you can compute. It's here. And the Hessian reduces to the second order derivative, which you can compute, and I did it myself, and it is here. Okay? Now, okay, this is too big. Newton. Wow. Newton. Okay, so this is the graph of this function. Okay? The first order derivative is a polynomial of third degree, so it should have three zeros, which correspond to this local minima and this local maximum. Okay? This is a local minimum, this should be probably a global minimum. Okay? That we have to. Then the function goes to plus infinity as t goes to plus or minus infinity. Let me zoom the function in the area where we are most interested, minus 3, 3. Okay. And let's apply Newton method. I decided to start from this point here, 1.6. So now I replace the function with this second order Taylor suspension around this point. It's quadratic approximation around this point. And it turns out to be this red function here. Okay? And since we are in one dimension, quadratic functions are parabolas, okay? And so the minimum or the maximum, it is a vertex. It's the vertex of the, is in the vertex of the parabola. In this case, the parabola is done this way, so the vertex is a minimum point, and it is this one, okay? So Newton's method tells you to move in this point here, okay? And the value of the function is this one. So Newton's method tells to move there. And this is the new point. Now you build the second order Taylor expansion at this point, so a new quadratic function, a new parabola around here, and in this case, it is this one, okay? You see, it provides pretty good approximation of the function in this area. And then here it becomes bad as possible. Clearly the minimum point will be, or the stationary point will be here in the vertex. So you get it, and you move to this point. Okay? And once again you repeat. You build the approximating parabola around this point. It is this one. The vertex is here. And you move to this new point. And so on. Okay? Okay, we almost see nothing, and it stops. Okay? And we are, where's the picture? We are almost at this local minimum. Okay? Now you see better that this is the local minimum and this will be the global minimum. Okay? So let me repeat this, starting from another point. Let's say I started from 1/6, let me try to minus 1/6. So I'm doing exactly the same stuff. Starting point is here. We build the parabola, is this one. Oh, we end up outside, I think. Okay, new point is there. This is something is somewhere here. You build the approximation, you build the parabola, you move to the new point, you build a new parabola, and so on. Clearly, when you do the algorithm, you don't build the graph of the function. You just compute the new point, which is the vertex of that parabola there. And so on, and it ends up here, okay? In the other minimum, in the global minimum. So we started from two different points and we got convergent to two different stationary points. Okay? Both are minima, but I want to show you that let's start, for instance, from 1. Okay? We start from here. We build the parabola which provides the second order Taylor expansion. You notice a difference here. Okay? The parabola is done the other way around. Okay? When you compute the stationary point of the parabola now, you are getting in the vertex you are getting a maximum. Okay? But the method works as well. You go here, the new point is here, you build a new approximation, is this one, you get the vertex, you get the new point, and so on. Okay, these are the other steps. What do you notice? The method worked, all the same, but you ended up in a stationary point, which is a local maximum. Okay? Indeed, all the assumptions we wrote before about the Hessian to be positive definite were not working. Actually, it was positive, it was negative definite, which here amounts to say that the second order derivative is negative, no more than that. But the method, through the Newton-Raphson technique, worked all the same, but towards a local maximum. Okay? And notice, I started from here, which is somehow almost halfway between this local minimum and this local maximum. Okay? So I decided to run the algorithm for a grid of points on the interval minus 3, 3. And where is it? It's Newton 1D all. Now it takes a little bit. It's computing the minimum starting for points on a grid. And this is the result. Okay. So here in red you have the global maximum. In green you have, horrible, it's almost yellow. You have this other local minimum. And here you have, in black, you have the local maximum, okay? Here you have the power corresponding to the point where the algorithm converges starting from that point, okay? So, if you start from any of these points, you converge here. But if you start here, you converge here. If you start here, you will want to go back here, and so on, okay? It gives you a map of the basin of attraction of the stationary points of this function. You are perplexed.
Oh, I've been Yeah, it's true. There is
some yellow here, and there should be also some small red here. Okay? I'm sorry, the color of the projectors are pretty bad. Notice up there that should be green, and the other yellow, but they are almost the same. So,
indeed, if you look at our Twitter page, there's a background image, which is actually the basing of attraction of a Newton method on the complex plane. Okay, for complex Newton method, but it gives the picture is the result of it has seven solution. The seven colors are the basing of attraction, and it looks almost a banana tree. Okay, but the idea is exactly the same. You make a grid, and you see where the method is going to converge. Okay, I'm showing you another example in just one dimension. The function this time will be, how is it? It is another polynomial of degree 4, and it is this one. T to the 4th power minus 5 times t cubed minus 4 times t squared minus t. If you compute the derivative here, you will get two zeros, okay, and not three, because one of them has multiplicity 2. Okay, this is t minus something squared times t minus the other root. It has this form, t minus t0 squared, t minus t1. Okay. Now I show you the picture. One of the two is a local or global minimum. I don't remember, so you can run it. Oh, let's take one. The function is done this way, okay? The two stationary points are this one, which is a global minimum, okay? And some point in between here, which is neither a minimum nor a maximum, because if you move this way, the function goes down. If you move this other way, the function goes up. Okay? Since it is a fourth degree polynomial with positive coefficient, then this is going to plus infinity, as this one is as well. Okay? Now, I can perform exactly the same method, starting, for instance, from here. Okay. This is the quadratic approximation you get, and this is the new point, and so on. Okay, and let's stop. Oh, a lot of... I had no idea. Okay, it stopped. Newton methods arrive to this stationary point here, which is neither a minimum nor a maximum, okay? Because the method works for finding stationary points, okay? If your Hessian matrix, second order derivative here, is positive definite, simply a positive number here, you convert to a minimum point. Otherwise, you don't know, okay? And so we have seen an example where it goes to a local maximum, and here an example where it goes to a so-called saddle point, okay? Flesso, o punto di sella, in Italian. Okay, let me now show you a two-dimensional example. Okay. And let's take Rosenbrock function, which by now we know very well. Okay.
It's a non-convex function, it's a fourth degree polynomial in two variables, which attains its unique stationary point, a global minimum at the point 1, 1. Okay? It's the unique point where the gradient is zero, and it is a global minimum, because the function is greater or equal than zero everywhere, and zero at that point. So, we have used, this is an example for all the other algorithms, always starting from 0, 0. Okay, so let's do the same thing here. So I didn't ask to draw many level curves, so it is faster. Okay, so we are starting from 0, 0, and Newton methods performs this way. Okay, extremely lucky, just two iterations. Okay, I want to you to notice this. At the first iteration, we move from here to here, and the value of the function here is greater than the value of the function here, okay? Because here we are inside the canyon, and here the function is going up. Okay? So the first step of the method is not a descent method. Okay? It means that here, the action is not positive definite. But then, we are extremely lucky, and at the second iteration, we get straight to the optimal solution 1, 1. Okay? Extremely lucky. But what I want you to notice is that in the end, it is a descent method, but at the very beginning, it is not, because if it is, I told you that the Newton method is local, so convergence should be granted if you start from a neighborhood of the point, so a ball around here. I mean, this is pretty far. Okay? Let's try to start, for instance, from, well, let's say here, 1 half, 1 half. Okay, so I'm redoing exactly the same thing from 1 half, 1 half. Here it is. Okay. The method works. It takes a number of iterations following the canyon. It takes 155 iterations, but they were all rather fast. Clearly, if we start closer, let's say very close, 0.9, 0.9, it will take clearly fewer iterations, 41. But it works. Let me first close the picture, otherwise it creates chaos. Let's try, for instance, rather than 0.9, 0.9, 1.1, 1.1, simply on the other side of 1.1. Okay. The method is going the wrong way. Okay. It's going on the canyon, but the canyon is getting up smaller, slowly, but it's getting up. The method is not convergent. Okay? Trust me, it will not come back the other direction. Okay? It fails. Notice that we were pretty close. We were pretty close to the solution. Okay, we started from here. The method worked when we started from here, and it's staying from here. It looks like that the neighborhood is strange. Okay, let's try it again. Rather than 1.1, let's take 1.01. crap, the method is failing again. Okay? I mean, we are extremely close to the solution. Okay? Convergence is guaranteed if you are close enough to the point. But here, on this side, close means it's really very close. Okay? I can stop this. Okay, let's try 1, 0, 0, 1 as a coordinate for both. In this case, one iteration was enough to get to the solution. Okay, but so I redid the same thing that we ran a couple of minutes ago on the one-dimensional example. But now I'm not running it because it requires some time. So I have the... No, this is terrible. I have the picture here. Okay. So this is a square... this is a square of size 0.2 centered in 1.1. Okay. The green points are the points from which we get convergence, and the red points, which look like more black, the dark points are the points from which you don't get convergence. Okay? So, this I think is answering Lapko's question during the break. Okay? We are guaranteed convergence if we start close enough. Okay. Close enough, if we want to make a ball, is very, very small. Okay. But notice that all these areas are areas from which you converge to the solution. Okay. And Lapko's question was, do we know the size of the ball? Okay. Can we know the size of the ball? And the answer is no, because the proof is an existence proof, and you don't build the radius with a constructive procedure in the proof. You just use some abstract mathematical theorem telling you there exists something, and it leads to the existence of this ball. Okay? But so I wanted to show you that the behavior might be very, very strange. Okay? You're starting this ball, and the algorithm is running away. Okay? You're starting, let's say, reasonably far, and it converges. Okay? Yes?
Possiamo estimare la velocità del treno? Abbiamo visto che quando si tratta si può avere una velocità. Quando è vicino a
okay, it's asking about rate of convergence. The rate of convergence is given by this formula. Okay. The distance from the solution at the new point is at most n times the square of the distance at the previous iteration. Travel here is the knowledge of n. Okay. Once again, this is an existence result. But convergence is fast. Okay, from a theoretical point of view, it's quadratic. Okay. Then on the single situation, on the single function, it depends on what's the appropriate the true value of this. This is not equal, this is lesser equal. Okay, so might be that in the case 0, 0, this was large and this was very small. Okay. I mean, that was a That was a lucky situation. I mean, it just depended, the dependence, it was that you were lucky that multiplying by the Asian, you were getting exactly the axis as directions. It was an extremely lucky and unlikely situation. Okay? Fortunata e improbabile. We didn't check one thing. The algorithms for satisfying the convergent theorem need the Asian to be positive. That means here. So actually we can do it because in the where is it? Now this is other stuff. Here. Rosenbrock. I have the computed the Asian, okay? It's a 2×2 matrix because we are in two variables. So it is this function here. So I can copy the name and indeed the function, the matrix, the Asian matrix in 1×1 is this matrix here. We can exploit the features of MATLAB to compute the eigenvalues, and the eigenvalues are, okay, so this is 1000, and this you have to receive, it's almost 0.4, okay, so they are positive. So in the solution, the Asian matrix is positive, definite, so we are in the framework of the theorem. But it may happen that this is not the case. Okay? Consider this function here. Of two variables. Okay? Consider this f of x1, x2 to be x1 squared plus x1 minus x2 to the fourth power. Okay? Which is the minimum point of this function? This function is, once again, greater or equal than 0 everywhere. This term is 0 if x1, if and only if x1 is 0. And if x1 is 0, then this term is 0 if and only if x2 is equal to 0. Okay, is equal to x1. So, this is always greater or equal than 0, but in 0 it is 0. So 0 is the minimum. 0 is the global minimum point. Okay? And indeed, if you compute the gradient of this function, the gradient of this function is, so the derivative with respect to x1 is 2×x1 plus, 4×x1 minus x2 cubed. And if you take the derivative with respect to x2, you have this term. Okay? So the gradient is 0 if and only if. So let's consider the second component. x1 is equal to x2, so this is 0. This becomes 0 as well, so x1 has to be 0. So the gradient is 0 if and only if x is 0, 0. Okay? Let's compute the Asian matrix. So here I have to take the derivative of this with respect to x1, it is 2 plus 12×x1 minus x2 squared. Then I have to take here the derivative of this function here with respect to x2. So you get minus 12 x1 minus x2
square. Here you get what? You should do the derivative of this function with respect to x1, but we know, since all these functions and derivatives are continuous, that if you change the order in which you take the derivatives, you get the same result. So you get, once again, this quantity here. And here you take the derivative of this function with respect to x2, so you get 12 times x1 minus x2 squared. You multiply by minus 1, you have a minus, it goes away. So the Hessian matrix is this one. Okay? Take any pair of points. Take 0, 0. Okay? The Hessian matrix is 2, 0, 0, 0. Okay? Eigenvalues are 2 and 0. So this is not positive definite. Okay? This is not invertible. Okay? And this happens whenever x1 is equal to x2. Okay? It means that we are not in the framework of Newton method. This function is convex because you can show that at any point this is semi-definite, but 0 is always an eigenvalue. And, it is an eigenvalue whenever the two are equal. If I try to run this method, maybe I have to do some adjustment before. Yes. So, here it is. Let me comment this. So this is the function, this is the gradient, and this is the Hessian matrix. Okay. Let me try to run. I need to save. Let me try to run this method. Let's say from. Any point which is not 0, 0, 1 up, 0. Oh, what happened? Oh no, that's terrible. Sorry, I need to redo it, to do it once again. Okay. The method did one iteration, and then what happened? Matrix is singular or close to be singular, or badly scaled. Okay, the method doesn't work. It finds a point where you cannot invert the matrix, so it crashes. Okay, so I can stop. This was obvious if I was going to start from a point where x1 were equal to x2. But even if they are different, it may end up in a point where that is singular, or very close to be singular, and so you are dead. Okay? What can I do? So, I told you we can apply Newton's method just to functions, to a particular class of strictly convex functions. Those who have a positive definite Hessian, okay? But indeed, we can try to perform some trick here. So we know that the function is
okay,
is is this way, the unit minimum is at zero. Let me ask, for instance, the norm of a multiple of the norm of x, okay, or the square of the norm of x. Then it means x1 squared plus x2 squared, okay, for some mu, doesn't mind. Here, the minimum of this function, the unit minimum of this function is at 0, 0. Okay. So the minimum of this is at 0, 0, the minimum of this is at 0, 0. Okay. So the minimum of their sum is at 0, 0, once again. But when I take the derivative of this term here, when I take the gradient, I take 2 times, the gradient is 2 times mu x, and when I take the action, the action is, okay, let's put one up here, is mu, the identity matrix. So the action matrix of this, let's say, f hat function at any f is the one, is the action matrix of f plus mu times the identity. This is positive semi-definite. This is positive definite, their sum is positive definite. Okay? Because all vectors are eigenvectors of the identity. Okay? So I can apply my method to this function here and solve the original problem.
Okay.
Huh? It could be okay. Yes, it sounds like cheating. Potentially you are right, but I try to spend the last couple of minutes, we are running out of time, to show you that the... So if... Where is it? Here. If I run the method, it means that here I switch this again to command and I uncomment this. So I run it once again from the very same point. And the method works. Okay? Laplace-Stalin, you're a chicken. Because you know that the solution is this one, okay? The answer is somehow no, because I can exploit this technique generally for all convex functions which are not strictly convex. And the method, the idea relies on this case. But the idea is, okay, add this kind of term here to the function, to a generic function. You move from f to f plus, let's say, mu times the square of the normal x. Okay? This is convex, this is strongly convex. Okay? So I can apply Newton's method. The idea of the method is the following. You perform a step of Newton here, okay, you will get to a new point. So you move from a point here to a point here, and you are performing Newton here, so you are making a descent step for this function here. Okay? The idea is I perform, so this is xk, and this is xk plus 1. I perform a line search along this line here. Okay? I perform a line search for f. Okay? And I get a point at which the function gets a better value. So I make the Newton step for this function, which is not mine, and unless this tricky case, the minimum might be a different point. I get to a new point here, and then I try to perform a line search for f. And I move to a new point which satisfies the descent condition, for instance, the Hermite condition, okay, for f, and I iterate. These methods are known
as inexact Newton methods. I don't want to give you the details, but just to give you the idea and the feeling that you can apply Newton method also for convex functions which do not have that good properties for the Hessian language. Okay? If you search on textbook for inexact Newton methods, they describe line search techniques of this kind. You make a Newton step for this regularized function, because this is convex, and when you add this term you get a strongly convex function. You make a Newton step here, and then you perform a line search along the direction you have found this way. Okay? And you can prove that under suitable assumption this method works. Converts. Okay? And the word inexact, Newton method, stands both for the fact that here you approximate your function, and here you are performing a line search. And this is what I did here without telling you. No, here I didn't need to do because, sorry, I was wrong, because it was a tricky situation. But in a non-tricky situation, you perform a line search. Okay? So, this is a relevant idea in optimization. Adding these kinds of terms to provide a function with better properties is often used. Okay? Also, in other types of methods, where you add the term to, let's say, regularize your function. Okay? Then you have to deal with the fact that you added this term and you modified your function. Okay, so I think that's it for the Newton method. So on Tuesday, Professor Bevilacqua, we start the new topic, which is least squares.